Well, please be seated. And again, we have the opportunity to hear from a local deacon from the North Phoenix Northwest area, Mr. Joe Camerata.
How come everybody's so tall? I always have to lower this thing. Hopefully that doesn't upset things. I was asked to make sure that this wasn't, I think it's okay now, isn't it? It was fixed. Okay. It's been a while since I've been here, and I think our messages tie in together. I'm going to set my timer so I don't go for 2 hours. And anyway, it's really great to be here again with you folks. And, you know, a lot of people that I know and I've heard of, they've had terrible situations in their lives, health, and various other circumstances have just wreaked havoc on many people in the church. And there's so many things going on. At least that was my perspective, and I'm sure it's from your perspective too, that there's a lot of people hurting out there. You know, recently I had a dream, and we've heard that expression before. I had a dream. I woke up one morning on the 31st of March, and it was at 4 a.m., and for some reason, somebody came up to me, and it was a 2 o'clock service, and they said, "Oh, you're speaking today." And actually, the service would start at 3, and I had no notes, nothing. And I thought, how could I drive home and get back here in time? And I was really, like, exasperated. What am I going to do? Thankfully, I woke up at that moment in time. But the lesson for me at that time was, be prepared at all times. Stay grounded in an understanding of basic scripture. This day and age, it is so easy to get off target. Does anybody know what last Sunday was? No, it was not a various holiday that we call. It was the wave sheaf, and we are on the countdown roughly 43 days until Pentecost. And this is something to keep in mind as we head towards Pentecost. Help us to draw closer to each other and to remind us of this truth that God has provided us. It says here in Ephesians 4:23 that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. It also says, you could say, be unified with the Spirit of God within us. And likewise, what it says in Luke 18:1, and most of these are from the English Standard Version, and I'll try to repeat each one because I'm not going to swing over to other notes. Luke 18:1, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. This day and age, with all that's going on, it is so easy to lose heart. Nations around the world seem to be on the brink of disaster, and the morals are taking a deeper and darker appearance. Across the spectrum of politics and the religious realm, so many take on the appearance of apostasy. We hear smooth, silken words at times, embedded in animosity and personal desire. Moral standards are being swept under the rug, even as we speak today. And this is across the world, not just in a local neighborhood. This is all over. Though people are not perfect, too many this day and age are turning away from basic moral and religious foundations. People are doing things today that they never would have conceived doing 10, 20, 30 years ago. It has transformed, the social area has transformed so greatly. We are a different people. We are different nations. This is a dangerous time, a vociferous trend that can derail the spiritual walk of so many like you and me if we are not careful. Let us not buy into the deceptions of this age and the transgressions of so many who are leading the attack on any form of Christianity. I've read elsewhere that Christianity is the number one target in the world this day. It's going to become more and more difficult. I really appreciated the message that we heard because I think what we heard earlier ties in to what I have to say today. And thinking about all of this is really important to remember as we do approach Pentecost. The title of this message is The New Covenant and the Law. The New Covenant and the Law. The basic synopsis is, does the New Covenant override the laws of God? So many today are confused almost more than any other time in the history of mankind. As we approach the day of Pentecost, consider this. Christ did not come to do away with the law, as so many say, and so many want you to compromise. My first point would be, like one major congregation claims that the new covenant abolishes God's law. A man essentially stated that the Sermon on the Mount of Christ, by Christ, negates the Ten Commandments. Do we live in a spiritual insane asylum? How could that be? That the Sermon on the Mount, would Christ do that, eliminate the Ten Commandments and it's no longer applicable to his people? Consider this in 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And through history, there are so many, and there's so many that use smooth, sly, slick words to confuse and mislead. In the church sometimes, and out of the church. Let's also read this in Romans 11:19-21. Romans 11:19-21. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. In verse 20, that is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. We've all heard it said before, pride comes before a fall. And we've seen lots of people boast about this or that ability or talent they have only to collapse and fall apart spiritually. Let's face it. Many have forgotten the way. Many have forgotten why they came into the church, how they came into the church. We read this in Isaiah 30, verse 10. And it says, who says to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. People don't want the truth overall today. They want fluff and stuff. People readily in or out of the church can easily turn from the truth. Let's face it, there are some out there calling themselves Christian who really are trying to hold tenaciously to a degree of morality and Christian values, but even they are being shaken to the core. We too can be shaken to the core if we're not careful. We hear and we read some strange things more and more these days. For example, let's read this from Romans 16:18. Romans 16:18. For such persons do not serve our Lord, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. There are people that walk about and say, oh, I just discovered this bit of information that many have dealt with years prior, and they think they have something new and think everybody should follow them in their walk in the wrong direction. We see wide swaths of hatred and disaster on the world scene. I'm going to continue to mention this because it is not going away. Don't even bother watching it on nighttime news on TV. That is sometimes fluff and stuff. People are being misled by people who should know better. We need to stand fast. There are great travails common to all of mankind. Mankind's heart, though, is deceitful above all things. Let's read this in Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Remember, it can infect the unconverted and the careless. How many of us have gotten careless at times in the course of our conversion? I know I have. Several weeks ago, I was down in the dumps, and I just wanted to throw in the towel. And then I listened to the sad story of a friend of mine and the struggles he was going through. And I looked and I thought, I've gone through nothing like that. And I resolved to turn it around. Each of us must resolve to turn it around. For us, the times may well be more dangerous and tenuous than it was in times during the 60s. The 60s were not a good time. That's when the world was engulfed in nuclear proliferation. That is a time when there were threats from the Soviet leader to bring us to the brink of war. That is a time when there was a crisis in Cuba where Soviet submarines were given the authority to launch IRBMs. And one of them, out in the lead when things were really tense, there were three people. They all had the authority to launch. Two voted to launch. Thankfully, the senior person said, we will not launch. If they had, the world would have been engulfed in a nuclear war. God did not let it happen. God made this man choose the right course. Over these many years, many have come into the church. Many have also departed from the church. They've departed from sound teaching. Sometimes society is running nice and smooth. And we like smooth things at times. I like smooth ice cream. Custard, that's my favorite. But I can't eat too much little impact of sugar on the body. But we need to be careful. Could you or me, could any of us be tumbling down a hill in the latter days? We may very well be in the latter days. We may have a slight respite at this time, but we don't know what's coming down in the future. Are we preparing our minds and hearts for trials yet to come? We may have only seen a little bit of the difficulties that so many have gone through in the past and so many will go through in the future. We've heard the expression, Satan goes about as a roaring lion. And we know that the desire to follow the Christian pattern has diminished. There may have been a temporary back off, but how long will that hold? What do we do in troubled times? There's many false prophets and supposed angels of light that may cause misdirection and confusion. And we, as individuals, need to be ever vigilant. If we turn our backs on anything, let it be the bad, the evil, the wicked things that beset or taunt us. Stay strong. My second point, we must study to show ourselves approved. That's not just a casual glance looking at the Bible one out of every 7 days. That won't of and by itself work. We need to be conscious of the truth of God in our everyday dealings with people, lest we slip and fall. We must show, this is point two, we must show ourselves approved. Let's read this in 2 Timothy 2:15-18. 2 Timothy 2:15-18. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And verse 16, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And verse 17, and their talk will spread like gangrene. I was surprised when I saw that terminology in the version I was reading. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. And verse 18, who have swerved or strayed, as some versions would say, from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. We hear all kinds of strange things. Well, Jesus Christ does this or did not do that, and so much stuff. Things that we wouldn't have considered 5, 10, 20 years ago. They are upsetting the faith of some. How often have we heard those spreading unsettling doctrine? Maybe not all of us. I've heard dozens of times about people hinting at, well, maybe we should do things this way or do things that way, totally devoid and misunderstanding of what Scripture really says on certain subjects. Some today even claim that Jesus Christ is not God. And they play with false deities and doctrine. Beware, for when we are strong, when we think we're riding high, that is when we may take the tumble. Beware of the stepping stones of the stepping stones where you step into a collapsing society in moral decay. Beware, For these little things could cause a chink in our spiritual armor. Let's continue in 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19. But God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That's sin. Everyone. Lest we forget, let it be reminded what it says in Matthew 24:12. Matthew 24:12. Also the English Standard Version. And because lawlessness, King James Version uses the word iniquity, lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. With all the temptations around us, it is so easy to become part of the pack around us. And we see so much of that happening today. So many family members doing things that they wouldn't consider doing years ago. We absolutely ought to stand fast in the faith. Let's turn and read this in 1 Timothy 4:1-2. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later, some versions use latter times. I like the word latter, and that's not something that you climb. That's later in life. Latter times. Some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Through the insincerity, this is verse 2, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, are we not in these days now? If we think we are not in these days now, we really need to get back and read the book and make comparisons and see what people are doing. See what we might be doing that is not pleasing to God and make those course corrections. We must remember that we have the ability to be flawed if we're not careful. We need to stand strong in the face of adversity, animosity, and confusion. Remember this, the natural mind is hostile towards God. And that comes out of Romans 8:7. Romans 8:7. The natural mind is just not pleasing to God. The natural mind is not always kind to neighbors. The natural mind does not always grasp truth. Let's look at this a bit deeper from another perspective. In 1 Timothy 6:3-6, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words, now what sound words are these? These are the words from the book that is in your lap or the little electronic device that you have. Are we really looking to this? And the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings that accord with godliness. And verse 4, this is 1 Timothy 6:4. He is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words. I've seen that for years in the church. Sometimes people will just quibble about little words. If you don't understand something, we don't have to argue about it. Put it aside for a while and come back later and research it, study it. make sure you're on right track. If that person doesn't want to listen, leave them be. Someday they may understand. And I know people have come around. And it just makes me rejoice to see even people that are not yet part of the church. They could go on a Bible reading program on Facebook, and they see truths of God, and they like what they see. They're not here yet. But how long did it take each of us to come in? I would have to say, for me, it took close to 10 years with my first realization early in the 50s that my focus on the Christmas season was not gifts and a tree. Jesus Christ was important to me at that time. And my uncle said to me, do what you got to do. But it took me almost 10 years before I finally realized I needed to be baptized. I needed to change my life. What about each of us? What have you gone through? Let's continue. In verse 1 Timothy 6, 5, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means to gain. But what does it say in verse 6? But godliness with contentment is great gain. I was terrified when I almost thought I was going to lose my job. And I had my first challenge on keeping the Sabbath. And they swapped out this day for that day. And they said, we're all coming in on Saturday. My jaw dropped. I was terrified. I had to talk to the boss and tell him why I wasn't coming in. He came up to me and he says, well, what are you going to do that for? Aren't you concerned? I said, I have to do it. I was fearful I would lose my job. But you know, God was merciful. God opened up the door where he said, he looked at me straight in the eye and he says, do what you gotta do. And in the course of weeks and months, he gave me more responsibility. This was just before I was baptized. And I didn't have to sit in the corner and die of starvation. Point number three, read the book, the entirety of the book in your lap. Or if you use your cell phone, do that. There is life in the words of that book of books, the Bible. There are books of the Bible listed throughout Scripture, both in the Old and New Testaments. Some people will only read maybe the New Testament, and perhaps Psalms and Proverbs. Then there's other people that have totally abandoned the New Testament, and all they do now is just read the first five books of the Bible. They have picked up on certain things, and you have to do this and do that, but they cut themselves off from the total truth of what God has for us. Remember this, as you're thinking about it. In the first century, Christ was crucified roughly about 31 AD. The apostles were teaching. There was no New Testament. The New Testament was never codified until at possible earliest 96 AD. After the book of Revelation. That could only be up till that time. There may be a few letters that were written, But there was no mass production. The book they had was the Old Testament. But the truth was embedded in the Old Testament. The truth is embedded in both. So study the whole thing. Let's look at the words, the law of God. Here's what it says. What is the law of God? Well, we think, well, it might be this commandment. Maybe it's just the Sermon on the Mount or this or that. Joshua 24:26 says this. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was the sanctuary of the Lord. Also, we read this in Nehemiah 8. And these are just examples. I can't recite all of them. There's not enough time. We would like to go home tonight. But it says this in Nehemiah 8, verse 8. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Furthermore, you could skip ahead to Nehemiah 8:18. Nehemiah 8:18. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. Now, this was the latter feast. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. Of course, this is referring to the fall festival or the fall feast. So how can a person calling himself Christian throw away roughly 90% of the Bible and only think all you have to do is remember the Sermon on the Mount? It just doesn't work that way. The Sermon on the Mount is good, but that's not all there is to that book that's in your lap. And it's shameful that people will come up with things like that and basically tear away the moral foundation that so many people in this country have had. Whether they fully understand or not, they understood enough to enable the societies around us to at least recognize there is something called sin, which is the transgression of the law. Remember what it says here in Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. How many and how often have we heard of people just pushing, and they'll ignore thou shalt not kill, and they've killed how many babies? And like was said earlier, if you shot a woman and she died and the baby in her also died, you'd be charged with double murder. There have been times in past when some people would even say, well, you could get rid of a child up till the age of 3. I was stunned when I read that years ago. And I thought, there's an asylum that somebody escaped from. Can you imagine? Just visualize. Don't visualize too closely. Keep yourself covered. You're in an airplane, and they take a run over the ice packs in the north of Alaska or the Arctic or wherever, and they drop you naked. Are you viable? Well, maybe they could kill you too. The little child cannot take care of itself. although there's been reports of, ancient times, Romulus and Remus may have been suckled by a wolf or something like that. But for the vast majority of kids, they cannot survive in the wilderness. Most people cannot, of and by themselves, survive in the wilderness. Be ever mindful that Christ did not keep the commandments in our place. We must keep the commandments. If we don't keep the commandments and we slip up, we repent and we make that effort and turn it around. We don't hold grudges, which is wrong, because we're not opening our hearts to change our own. We're not able to rejoin with somebody that may have provided an affront to us. I'll give an example, and I've done this before. When I was about 16 years old, a guy came up to me. He was a friend of the family. He slapped me in the face. And he says, "I don't like you." He was way bigger than me. I wasn't about to tackle him or anything. I was too wimpy at the time. I met him years later. And in those years later, I had gone through a conversion process. And I was over at the house. And unfortunately, he had lost his wife. And she was a lovely lady. And he walked up to me. He says, "I still don't like you." But he didn't slap me. And I looked at him straight in the eye. I said, "I want you to know something. I like you." And he looked shocked. He never bothered me again. And I knew I had to have a forgiving heart. I knew I could not hold grudges. And there have been other incidences in our lives. Every one of us has gone through that. And let's continue here. And remember, certain things do not cancel out the Ten Commandments. Mark 12:30, verse 32. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The second is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." But the others are follow-ups. It doesn't mean because we're all touchy-feely and we love each other, now we have carte blanche and I could steal anything I want. It doesn't say that. It says we adhere to all the commandments. And in verse 32, it says, "And the scribes said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other beside him.'" Let's read this from Romans 8:1-3. Romans 8:1-3. "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of" what? "The law of sin and death." Not the commandments. Not the commandments, but the law of sin and death. "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh." Sin condemns. Sin is the transgression and the breaking of the law. We must show ourselves approved. This is the crux of what it says in Luke 18:18-20. "And the ruler asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' In verse 19, "And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments." Here, Christ is speaking it. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Today, people make excuses for that. Do not murder. Do not steal. Well, if I'm hungry, I could steal. No. Or he has something, he has a better TV. I think I ought to take that. No, we don't do that. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. How many of you here have had somebody make a false accusation about you to others? And hey, you're standing there and like, what in the world happened? That didn't happen that way. And it says, honor your father and mother. For some that have gone through very great difficulties, for some that has been difficult to do, because many people in the world today, they don't know their father, they don't know their mother. I remember a movie actress. She did not know her father, but later in life, she wanted to find her father. She wanted that bond that she'd never had. Somehow or other, she was able to find her father in Ireland. I forget the lady's name, it'll come to me. But she went to Ireland, picked him up, and brought him back to live with her. She could have been a very angry woman. I don't know why she was separated at birth or later. But she helped heal the breach. So we read this in 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. I'm going to draw this to a conclusion. But first, I would like to recommend, and somebody's going to help me here. I brought a booklet, and you already had some. I put some extra booklets about the New Covenant. And at this time, I also have copies of what are called Are the Ten Commandments in the New Testament by Dan Preston. And I have some copies if you want some copies. See this gentleman over here? Just raise your hand. I don't have a lot, but I could get them to you. And whatever he has left over, he could just leave here. Somebody might pick it up. It's an excellent, concise article. Earlier, just raise your hands and wave. Earlier I stated, don't buy into the deception of this age. Did Christ really come to do away with the law? No, we've already discussed that. If there's any doubt about the new covenant, remember this. It does not abolish the law of God, nor any of the Old Testament and broad swaths of the New Testament. More and more we are seeing horrifying things on the horizon as the world just gets scatterbrained about moral situations. And the chances of war keep increasing. The chances of racism and religious persecution is increasing in the world. Times are tough. We may have a slight relaxing at this moment. But worse days may be down the road. Remember this, the time will come. Many will look to us, you and me. And if we followed a right example, if we've set a right example, they'll say, tell me more. There will be people like that. I know there's people like that. I could see it. We do have a higher calling and a great responsibility. Whatever we do, do not forsake that high calling, especially as we see morals erode. My hope is that we could tear down walls of anxiety, frustration with people around us, and help us to heal the wounds of history. Meanwhile, never forget, before starting the day, to ask, what can I do to heal any breach in a relation, whether a man or a woman or a child or whatever? As we draw this to a close, let us approach the final weeks ahead towards Pentecost with humility yet vigor to obey God in all our doing. I have a final reference point here. Romans 2:4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you and me to repentance? I am so glad there is a God in heaven who, when we repent, he forgives and he encourages us not to do it again. This is why we renew our covenant through the holy days every single year, to remind us to do those things that are pleasing in God's eyes. I have a couple little quick statements here. Remember this. It is better to walk alone than with a crowd going in the wrong direction. And also, if you find yourself in the pits of a spiritual hole, stop digging. God be with you all, friends, brothers, and sisters in Christ. Stand strong and stay the course.